Jabber talk.
Okay, good morning and welcome back. And welcome if you are listening in for the first time today. This is Colourful Radio. This is Jabber Talk. And of course, I am Jacqueline Malcolm, your host. And yes, as I promised, we have another amazing guest. Today in the studio, we have with us... I always wait for the end of that because it's too loud. We have with us Lydia Amoa.
Yes. Good morning.
Good morning, Lydia. How are you?
I'm fantastic. So happy to be here.
Yes. Excellent. Thank you for coming. So as I was mentioning earlier, Lydia is an award-winning business coach, diversity advocate, and inspirational speaker. And believe me, I've been talking to her now for around 2 minutes and I'm already feeling very inspired just by her presence. You've got a very positive energy. I don't know if you realize.
Thank you.
You definitely walk into a room and you're there, aren't you?
I think so.
Right?
Yeah.
I think it's brilliant.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Are you not aware that you have that?
I'm aware that I like to be positive, and yeah. I know that how we think is how we come across, definitely.
So, yes.
Yeah, I'm aware of that. You know,
yeah.
You have to know yourself.
You do, right? Mm. You do. Mm. I've got this thing where I know that people, for some reason, are going to remember me, whether for the good or the bad.
Yes.
But they're going to remember me.
You can't please everybody, can
no,
you?
No, and I don't try to.
No, neither do I.
Right?
I did go through that once in my life before.
Right.
Yeah.
And then you got out of it very quickly, I can imagine. Okay, so, of course, no one, you know, comes out the room saying, right, that's it. I am a life coach because I've learned so much, you know. What has been your journey in order? I mean, this is because I asked because you're actually award winning at this.
Yeah.
You're that good at this.
Thank you.
That someone said, we acknowledge your greatness and gave you an award, the prestigious, precious award,
yes.
Internet, for your leadership in the workplace.
Correct.
Which is fantastic. Congratulations.
Thank you.
But of course, you've worked for that. And it's like they say, don't they? It takes 10 years to become an overnight success.
Yes. Nobody becomes an overnight success.
It doesn't exist.
You have to work at it.
Absolutely.
Definitely.
So talk to us about your childhood. When is the first time that you can remember from childhood where you realized you got something out of inspiring people?
Okay. I remember an incident in my class and there was this girl and her name was a friend of mine. And I said to her, are you okay? And she said, yeah, I'm fine. And I just tuned in that she wasn't.
Right.
And I just kept on you would say to some people, how are you? And, you know, is anything up? You know, you pick up on something. And I didn't want to leave it just there. I wanted to keep pushing.
And how old were you at the time around?
I think I was about 11 or 12.
Brilliant.
11 or 12.
At the age when you're really not doing that, you're normally just thinking about yourself. Right. So, awesome.
Yeah. And I just kept on pursuing with her. And it was actually quite a serious incident that was happening for her at home. And I just remember thinking, why isn't the teacher noticing this? And I got quite frustrated.
Right.
So I went up to the teacher and I remember saying, and I will never forget this day. And I said, you know, miss, are you aware that so-and-so is sitting at the back of the class and she is not feeling right? And she shared something with me and I do not know what to do with this information. It seems big.
Right.
You know, and the next minute, all I know is that my friend was taken out of the classroom and I didn't see her again. Okay.
Wow.
So it was that serious. I'll leave it to your imagination
exactly,
to think what was happening there. And I thought, and it's something that still sits with me today, because when people ask me this question, why did you become or how did you get into this path? I always go back to that incident, picking up and tuning into somebody and knowing that something wasn't quite right.
Right,
and
right.
I didn't want to just leave it there. I wanted to do something about it. I cared enough to want to do something about it.
I love that.
Yeah.
And so then do you think that was the thing that kind of put you on the path and you realised, wait a minute, by observing, by being paying attention to somebody else, maybe I can help someone.
Yeah, definitely. And also I knew that in life I had my own questions. At a young age, my father passed away when I was quite young.
Mm.
So automatically you're a young child, you have lots of questions to ask.
Yes.
Like, Mum, why did he go? Where has he gone?
Exactly.
He coming? No, actually, it's like innocent questions.
A few steps and you've yes. grown up
yeah.
beyond your years when something like that happens.
Completely.
Isn't it?
Yeah, I believe that we, as a family, I come from a Ghanaian background, so everyone gets involved.
Brilliant.
And I had a very good relationship with my mum, so I was able to, being the That's youngest lovely. As well.
I'm the youngest.
Are you the youngest?
Yeah, whoop, whoop to the youngest.
Yeah. We watch and we learn. I remember having this attitude of course, if I have to listen to my elders, I want to watch my elders as well.
Right.
And then if I'm going to watch them, I'm going to learn from them.
Brilliant.
Does that make sense?
Yes, exactly.
The good, the bad, and the ugly.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And maybe not make some of their mistakes.
Yeah, yeah.
And
sorry
learn
if they're listening.
Them. Exactly, but no, yeah, we all make mistakes.
Absolutely, I've made mine in my life. So
exactly.
And you do grow from them. So I believe that that situation with my father passing away when I was very young, I had lots of questions to ask. And so I inquired about things. So that made me curious about life and curious right. about people. So that's my earliest memory.
Right. Yeah. I love that. I love what you just said as well, ties in, because earlier in the show I was talking about, I'd read on Reader's Digest the 15 sentences that will help build trust in people. And the number one thing is that thing of, you look like saying, so not just doing the blanket, yeah. oh, are you all right? And then not listening yeah. to the answer and moving yes. on and not actually caring for the answer, but actually noticing the person and seeing yeah. them. Mm-hmm. So when you know that you're really naturally good at that, at seeing people, does it become a burden sometimes? Do you feel like sometimes you don't want to see too much because you're too busy yeah. in a day? Or,
I think when you've got a gift, there's so many people yes. out there have got gifts, and when you have a gift and it's not nurtured, it can become overwhelming.
Right.
If you
right.
don't know how to manage that energy of the gift that you've been given, right. does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
So when you care about people, or when you're a people's person, you can be tuned into people anyway. I hope that makes sense.
Yeah.
So you can walk into a room and you can pick up on, okay, right, maybe I won't go to that corner over there. It seems right. a bit lower energy. You can just feel people. I don't know. I'm not too sure. I don't think it's just unique to me. I'm not too sure if it is, but I get a sense and I can feel a situation around me.
Yes.
If that makes sense.
Yes, no, no,
and,
it's brilliant.
And so I think before I knew how to deal with that, it would seem overwhelming because I was just tuning into so many people around me.
Right.
Does that
right.
make sense?
Yes, and then it becomes too much.
It can become too much.
Yeah. So then how did you learn to manage it so
yeah.
that it didn't become a drain, so mm-hmm. that you were always able to give out at the times you're meant to give
yes.
out, but at the times when it was okay to mm-hmm. see it,
yeah.
but know that that's not your path and that's not your moment to
yeah.
get involved?
I'm thinking of so many instances. I remember once when I was 14 years old, okay?
Yeah.
And because I think it was around 7, my father passed. So when I was about 14, so 7 years later, I remember my pastor saying to me, you know, what he said to me was, oh, you know, Lydia, you've got this personality where you're very good at sales. And at that time, I was like, sales? What's that?
I know.
You know, and I was like, no way, what's that? I'm never going to be doing that. But I've come to learn in life, everything has an element of sales.
Yes.
Yeah, everything. Absolutely everything.
Yes, you've got to be able to sell.
From walking even down the aisle of a supermarket, and you might be with your partner or a friend and say, let's go for, you know, Ben and Jerry's. And the other says, no, let's go for Sainsbury's own. And whoever gets it has used the power of persuasion.
Right.
And as long as you use it in a good way, does that
exactly,
make sense?
Exactly, exactly. Yes.
But that just reminds me of something where it was recognised in me. Does that make
right,
sense?
Right, yeah, yeah.
And so that was the first beginning. But to take it to bring the story short, when I actually began to have training,
right,
that was it, really. That
really
helped me.
So did you leave school
yeah.
to go straight to become a life coach?
No, I didn't. What happened was, when I left school, I was one of the people that wanted to get out there. I wanted to start my own business. I was always...
You were an entrepreneur?
Yes, I was just always...
I mean, we didn't know it was called an entrepreneur at the time, didn't we?
No.
They, to this day, they still don't really teach entrepreneurship enough.
They do not well enough at school.
No, no.
Because I think that it should definitely be brought into school, because everybody has got different gifts. Some people will go on the track of apprenticeships, some will go to university,
there you go.
And some will want to just start straight away.
Exactly.
They're
just
all great.
Ready.
And you're always learning anyway.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I think after school, I landed my first job, and it was with a really good training organization.
Oh, brilliant.
And they invested a lot in me.
Fantastic.
A lot. I did training. And again, because you know, when you're entrepreneurial, you just put your hands at things, mm. and if it's right for you and it's your gift, you just flourish and you'll do
yes.
really well.
Yes.
But what you definitely do need is somebody alongside you to point out to you, you know what, you're really good at this and this equals that. Otherwise, right. you'll take yourself for granted.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's not as easy, is it, to have insight? Because, no. like, I'm a strategist when yes. I'm not doing this.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's always, I even, but when it comes to my, as much as I can tell someone else, yeah. oh, no, you need to be doing this, and it's easy, and I can see it so clearly, yeah. but when it comes to me,
oh,
then I've got to turn to someone else.
Completely.
Because it's like, you're too close. It's
too
you're
close
too emotional.
To you can't see it.
You cannot see it.
Yeah.
So you've always made sure then that even though you've been assisting yeah. others, you've always had that go-to person in your life.
I have. And funny enough, some people say, Lydia, why do you need a coach? Why does Lydia need help? Hello, I'm
hello.
A human being.
There you go. There you
no,
go.
Just because you're a great singer, just because you're a great performer,
there you go.
It doesn't mean everybody needs support and guidance as long as it's the right person. Obviously.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Okay, so then you went through training. Did you
training
actually go through a university or was it always on the job that you
always
met?
On the job for me, and I'm
brilliant.
Proud of that.
Yeah, no, good.
What happened was, so I worked for the, it was called the Industrial Society. Mm. I believe it's called the Work Foundation.
Mm.
And what they did, they sent me on telephone training skills, they sent me on marketing courses, everything. And I just soaked it up because they really invested in me. They saw areas where they thought, okay, let's sharpen Lydia here. And in doing so, and then again, what happened was I naturally fell into a marketing sales role, bringing
right.
in lots of money. And then I remember what my pastor said, you're very
right.
good at getting people to say yes, and or bringing serving a story in
right.
a way that serves people in the best way. And that's what life is. Life
brilliant.
Is about that. So that was really good. And then I think that as I was growing and growing and growing, I always found myself in these scenarios, guiding people, listening to people. And then it became really clear in the UK, this is actually what you call a coach.
Okay, right,
it
fantastic.
Was, in America, it's been going on for donkeys, but over here...
Well, exactly, just didn't have a name for it, did we?
In the 90s, I think it started to grow here.
Yeah.
People like Fiona Harold, who actually was one of my coaches, and she was great, she was fantastic, and I read her books of, you know, How to Be Your Own Life Coach. I'm not
brilliant.
Too sure. If you, it's a great book. And I started reading those personal development books, and I got myself a coach, and then having a coach made me realise, look, this is actually the avenue
that I want to go down.
Yeah.
And you've done it big time because, I mean,
I
was reading your client list,
yeah.
which is absolutely phenomenal. I mean, are we allowed to talk about some of your clients?
Yeah, as long as I'm talking about it individually.
Oh, yeah, no, not the individual.
There's ones I can talk about, which are always happy for you to say.
Yeah,
to share their
but
stories.
I mean, like,
yes.
Like you've done work with... Miss Dynamite,
yeah,
MBE.
Yeah,
you've done the Mercury. She was the Mercury
yeah.
Music mm-hmm. Prize winner.
Mm-hmm.
You've done oh, what's his name? Jeff Brazier.
Yeah, Jeff Brazier
from this
ITV,
morning.
Yeah, ITV. This morning.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
and then some of your clients are the big boys. Like, you know what I mean? It's like I'm trying to read them off this list.
Yes.
Do you want to?
Shall I
tell
shall
us
I
them?
You?
Yes.
Okay, okay.
You
okay.
tell us them.
All right. So, what it is? I'm being humble here, I suppose.
Please
I'm taking, don't. I'm taking it all in. So, yes, so I've worked with clients, like I said, the Daily Telegraph, the newspaper, the Daily Telegraph, which was great. And
so and when you say that, you actually go in and you're working with
teams.
Their whole teams.
Mm-hmm.
That is so fantastic.
Yeah. yeah.
In what areas of coaching do you
okay.
go through
so,
them?
So there's different elements. Some will be career coaching.
Mm.
So coaching people within their careers, help them look, that somebody might say, why aren't I getting up the ladder? You know,
right.
I want more pay, or I want to speak up at meetings. I'm not getting noticed. All of this stuff, you know?
Right.
And then it could be leadership coaching, somebody who manages teams. And then I came up with an idea, why don't we create coaching programs, even though I'm a coach, create coaching programs for the, you know, the bosses, the leaders in the business.
Brilliant.
And so teach them how to bring out the best, because coach, that's what coaching does.
Exactly.
It brings out the best in people. It helps equip people to have their own resources within them.
Pull
them
oh,
to
I
the
see.
Forefront.
So you've created a program so
yeah.
that bosses can learn how to coach themselves
coach
or
their style,
manage
coaching.
From a
yes.
coaching style
yeah.
rather than a management style.
Yeah.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
Brilliant. So you've
really
actually
good.
Written that, and that is that's
that.
What's rolling out in.
Well, that's one of the programs that I rolled out at the Telegraph, which was fantastic.
Well
and it just
done.
It just equips managers to, for example, if they've got a difficult member of staff or somebody they find difficult, they might the person might themselves not be difficult,
mm.
but then know how to ask them the types of questions.
Exactly.
And that person, when you ask people the questions in the right way, they get to see, hold on a minute, all right, I can see what my contribution is to this, or I can see what I can grow in this, or maybe I've got something to admit here. It's not a blame game.
Right.
It's about just bringing out, say, bringing out any stuff that's within the person out.
Right.
And what I found of coaching is more than creating strategies, is actually getting to know the individual, finding out, look, what's been going on in your life? Is there anything from your past that you need to let go of that's just showing up
there
every single time? You know, you could be blocking your own success because when you were younger, somebody in your family or when you were at school, wherever put you down and
yes.
it stayed there. That thought is just like a hologram.
Exactly. Just repeating, repeating,
every
repeating
time.
Every
yeah.
single time.
So that's why I say that the type of coaching that I like to do is, yeah, it's got elements of business in it. However, it's holistic as well.
Right.
Because that's my, you've got to deal with the whole person. That's
well, no,
like
that is so important,
yeah.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And that is something that we don't really do at the moment.
No.
And I'm looking at the next... we're admiring these millennials who
yeah,
are already
gosh.
Millionaires and
yeah.
they have so
yes.
much access to all this information that we didn't have.
Yeah,
or,
we made ways for them.
Right?
Same way people made ways for us, you know?
Exactly, which
yeah.
is awesome. So, but how do people avoid like a burnout without knowing themselves and what is good for them and so forth? So I'm hearing when you're saying that you take in the whole person,
yeah.
that's the kind of thing that you're looking at to
mm-hmm.
avoid them. Getting on a path where they're just going to go into
yeah,
burnout and...
completely. I mean, I've worked with some of the millennials. I remember when I was doing a roadshow with Channel 4 and it was the four called Four Talent. It was called Four Talent. They were going,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, they were going to areas that, maybe rural areas or areas where some of the young people were disengaged or didn't have the absolute opportunities. And it was amazing because I would... You know, I'd have an auditorium of young people, maybe 200 young people aged between 18 to 24.
Brilliant.
And we'd be doing workshops, but I'd do like coaching on the spot. So it's about taking that skill with you wherever you go and
yes.
harnessing that.
Yes.
And speaking to some of the young people and helping them know from the very beginning that they were somebody.
Brilliant.
So when they entered into the market, yes, they're going to be learning, but to remember they also have a lot to bring to the table. So to
yeah.
walk in straight away, not with arrogance, but with value and belief in themselves.
Yes.
And I wanted to share some of my own stories because I remember, you know, I just didn't get here so easily. I've been through highs and lows.
Exactly.
And I've learned those lessons. And not that you can fast track somebody in the right way, not taking away their own experience.
Yeah, no,
Jacqueline,
you
that they
to.
Have to have. Does that make sense?
Yeah, exactly. No. Yeah. You want people to go through life and you have to have the negative with the positive. Otherwise, you don't become
exactly.
a rounded person.
Completely.
You've got to experience it all. And it's like when I look back on my life and mm-hmm. all the stuff that's happened that are negative, it's like I wouldn't change it though.
Yeah.
I would,
yes.
as hard as it is at
yes.
the time, I wouldn't change it because
yeah.
otherwise, where's my weight? Where's my character
mm-hmm.
without having gone through those things?
Absolutely. That's what gives you character and depth.
Exactly. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. this is a really exciting path because it, from what I'm hearing, it's like you have really forged your own path
yeah.
from the very beginning, from the get-go.
From
you've
the get-go.
Kind of really... Now, where did that come from? Because so many, and especially you were saying you're from Ghana?
Ghana, yes.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So I normally like in a lot of our black culture,
yes.
Our black community, whether it's Caribbean, African, we're all the same.
Mm-hmm.
So you normally find that our parents are very much like wanting to help guide us
yes.
into a very safe career
oh, yeah.
and safe path.
Well,
I mean, right. Yes. I mean, we were very lucky. Our parents were very much, and I think maybe your parents
yeah.
were the same, just find what's going to make you happy, but do that really, really
completely.
Well.
Yes.
Is that where that came from? Or did you have to kind of break out of that? Because I know there are a lot of our listeners who are going to be, look, I know this is what I would love to do, but really I'm being pressured to do this because
yeah,
there's security in this,
completely.
Especially with Brexit coming, I need something secure.
I know.
What would you say to someone right now who has that urging to go for what they know is their calling? And I'm not saying that as someone who's a person of faith or spiritual,
yes,
just
I know
we
what you
all
mean.
Know, you know you have a purpose
yes.
in this life. What would you say to them if they're being faced with, yeah, but it doesn't feel practical?
Yeah. Well, like, that was the turmoil. And I used the word turmoil that I went through. Because I remember mom, she had a very good job. And she said, look, become, you know, like a secretary and, you know, do this secure. And it was a secure, safe role. She wanted me to. And I know she was talking towards me at safety.
There you go. Exactly.
At, you know, pensions and talk towards me at all of these things for me to be fine and be secure.
Yes.
And even 50% of my, or maybe less than 50% of me felt, I understand where you're coming from, but it's just not me.
Right.
And so I remember going into the office and going for these job interviews.
Right.
And I'd get an office in a, you know, a position in the office. My mum would be so proud and happy. But, you know, I'll be honest with you. It's about the role, because when I was in those roles, when I did actually first of all begin as secretary, and I was categorically told, you are rubbish at this. I remember coming home feeling really upset. But,
oh, no.
Yeah, but I was told I was rubbish.
How funny.
As a secretary.
I'm so sorry.
You're
but...
not good. And she was really nasty the way the woman said it.
Yeah, but no, I that think was wrong how she did it.
It was wrong, but it was the best
but
thing.
But thank God, yes.
I thank God at the same time.
Because otherwise you'd be the best secretary to this day, right?
Gosh. And... And I remember actually, I used to feel as though I was a bit stuck in a cage.
Right.
So I think anybody that's going towards anything in life that's not them, they will feel there's something inside them that just does not feel correct, doesn't feel right. And that very feeling would make me come home and say to my mum, look, this position's just not me. But fortunately enough, I was guided in the right direction. And so I'd say to anybody, what you need to do is, for number one, definitely listen to the guidance you're receiving.
Yes.
And see where it sits with you. Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah.
Where does it sit with you on a soul level? Does it feel right? Does it feel sickening?
There you go.
Let's pay attention. And I'd say journal. Write things down.
Brilliant.
Write down your aims and ambitions. So when you're talking to your parents or your guardians, whoever's taking care of you, you can come to them with a plan. So you can convince them, because you do need to convince them, because if you can't convince them, you can't convince anybody
anyone.
Else outside.
Exactly.
And you've got to convince yourself, number
one.
Yeah,
number
to
one.
To be really sure this is what you want to do.
Exactly.
So put your money where your mouth is, get a pen and paper, go the old school way, right? Or get your iPad out, whatever, and write a proper plan out for yourself.
Yeah, love that.
Now, what am I good at?
Yeah.
What's the best things that people say about me?
Yeah.
Those two things alone will stream a lot of content out of the person.
Yeah.
And they will then be able to, and then maybe they need to think about, is there anybody that I know out there that is doing the role that I want to do?
There.
We live in a world, you watch YouTube, it's almost like you're with the person directly, or you're listening into this radio show.
Yeah.
There's ways you can access resources.
Oh, yeah.
And you might not
exactly.
have the finances.
Exactly.
Just to start you off.
Yeah. But there is absolutely, if you've got a plan in your mind, there is a way to get there, right?
And do you know what? You have to really believe in yourself, because there will be doubters out there, people that will laugh at your visions. They won't get you. They just won't. And maybe they're not meant to.
Exactly.
You know? So I think that's really, really important. And you've just got to keep going. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
And be a bit flexible with yourself as well. Does that make sense?
No, but absolutely.
Have that vision to say, look, this is what I want, and be confident and be patient, because it may take some absolute time to get there.
Yeah.
It might not just happen overnight.
You've got to be, you've got to be in it for the long haul.
Completely.
I love that. Okay, this is some really good advice from Lydia Omoa. I hope you're really taking these notes down. Get your pen out, get your iPad, whatever you're writing on right now. Make some notes, because this is great stuff. Right now, we're going to have a little bit of music, and when we come back, we're going to be talking to Lydia about what comes next for her in 2019. And then also, you know what's coming next? We are going to be doing the Jabba Talk 40 questions. All of that coming up straight after all of this.
Colourful.
Jacqueline Malcolm.
Colourful Radio.
Okay, a little bit of Secret Lovers, Atlantic Star. And we are back, of course, with Lydia Omoa. She is a life coach, a business coach, an inspirational speaker. And I really hope that you've been inspired by some of the little tips that she's been giving there about how you can get your kind of future, get your life on track with the life that you want to be living, which I think is so, so very important.
Yeah.
So what comes next? Because I mean, you've stood on major platforms, you've trained in major corporations.
Yeah.
So you are everybody's, you know, if anybody wants to be a life coach, you've done it all. You've said it all. You've, you know, there's, I mean, looking at your list and reading your full bio, which I hope, where can people find you?
Have
you
got, I've got a website.
Yeah.
So it's all the W's, Lydia, L-Y-D-I-A, and then Amwa, A-M-O-A-H.com.
Amwa. I'm so sorry.
I've been saying
Amwa.
Sorry,
Amwa. Okay, so Amwa. Yeah. So, okay, so it's your full name, Lydia Amwa.co.
dot com.
Legit, fantastic. Please go on and just read about her, because you will be fully inspired, as I was. But what comes next?
Wow.
Because you're still young. So
yes, thank you.
You know, do you see what I mean? It's like you have achieved a lot from a very young age. So clearly you've not, you know, your path hasn't finished.
You're not ready to retire. No.
So what comes next for you?
Well, you know, lately I've been working on this report, the Black Pound report.
Excellent.
Which is really amazing. And what I wanted to do was, we were discussing it, just to change the dialogue about our communities.
Right,
and because within the media, things are changing. I'm not saying it's awful, because, things are changing.
Things are changing.
We have to acknowledge that things are changing.
Yes.
From generation to generation, things are changing. But there's still, you know, a conversation and implementation that needs to happen.
Yes.
And what I felt was that I was actually, do you know when you read something and it inspires you?
Yeah.
I read a book by a coach that I know, and there's a book called Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill.
Right.
And they've turned that into a movie. It was like a documentary movie. We've got all these different experts that come in, talk about their experiences of life, much like we're doing here today.
Yeah, brilliant.
And there was Dr. Dennis Kimbrough, amazing man. And he's got this book called The Wealth Choice. And he interviewed 100 million and billionaires. So he interviewed people like Tyler Perry, the owner of Essence Magazine.
Fantastic.
Run DMC. You know, all of these amazing people. And not all of them had, you know, the greatest beginnings.
Right.
And then he told stories about Mary Bethune, and who started her own education school in the early 1900s.
Brilliant.
So his story was that, look, Lydia, you know, racism, is it always going to be there? Yes, it is. Will prejudice always be there?
Yes.
However, we cannot allow these things to stop us from achieving.
That's so important.
Yeah. So even though there may not be enough, you know, a representation out there of us in great positions to be a role model, to say to somebody, oh my gosh, I see myself in that person.
There you go.
It's possible for me.
Yeah.
That's really important, because more than, qualifications, all of these are really important. And you have to be a real trailblazer. You have to be really strong to say, even if I don't see it, I'm going for it.
There you go.
And not everybody's like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay,
yeah.
That's why representation is key. So that inspired me to put the Black Pound report together, which is about highlighting the economic value of the BAME, so the Black and Asian minority ethnic groups.
Brilliant.
And 300 billion, we're worth 300 billion. That's disposable income.
Wow.
So that's after, you know, you paid your bills, paid your rent, your mortgage, so on. And we account for 14% of the population.
Wow.
And there's some where we are doing some really great things. So I say, look, I want to speak to the mainstream, to encourage them to speak to advertising agencies and encourage them, teach them how to pick. You know, we saw the whole advert to do with Dove, didn't we, and what happened there. So it's, you know, it's helping them make sure they've got the right people on board to make the right informed decisions.
Brilliant.
Because ultimately, that's what is going to impact the economy.
Right, exactly.
It's not just a good thing to do.
Yeah, it's the right thing to do.
It's the right thing to do. And it's an economical thing to do as well.
No. I think that's absolutely brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
So then for you, so you're doing the Black Pound report.
Yes.
Who is this report for? I know that sounds really stupid.
No, it's not stupid. It's a good question. I really want to aim, a lot of people are interested in the report, but I want to go into media agencies, go into advertising companies.
Brilliant.
I did the launch with MC and Saatchi. So they're one of the biggest advertising agencies in the
very
world.
Very nice,
right?
Yes.
So they saw that this is a really good idea. We need to back this girl. So able to help me launch it, you know.
Awesome.
So I got into a collaboration with them, and you know, worked with the head of culture there, of head of culture and diversity, and we collaborated for a while to make sure that I had a great platform to bring this out there to the masses.
Brilliant.
And then worked with other newspapers and magazines who've covered stories on me about this report, which is amazing, because
awesome.
It's a positive dialogue, it's a positive narrative.
No, it is.
This is who
yeah.
we are. This is what we bring to the table. You're looking for emerging market. Brexit's looming. Look underneath your nose. You've got talented, resourceful people.
Fantastic.
And just highlighting the positives, because, you know, if you think about advertising, if you think about the Sainsbury's ads,
yes,
they're
exactly.
changing, aren't they? If you look at them
They're changing very much so.
Aren't they?
Yeah, they're becoming much more all-rounded and not
all-rounded.
Just one face, one focus. I think they are.
Yeah.
So when, where can people, when is the report going to be
good question.
Completed? And where can we read it?
Okay, so what's happened is, the report's ready, but what's happened is, because the findings were so great, I want to develop them even further. Does that make sense?
Oh, wow, yes.
So I'm sharing some the key trends. I want to share the key trends. They're amazing to share.
Right.
And one of them, obviously, is like 66% felt that they're not feeling fully represented in the media.
Hello.
Hello. Right. Okay.
That old bandwagon.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's true.
But it's true. It just reinforced the same answer.
Yeah.
And the other one, another one was interesting to say, that the national average salary, I think it's something like 26,400 or 27,400, much and much between. And with the research that I did, it showed that actually, you know what, there's people within the BAME community that are actually earning above that. So 52% were earning more than a natural average salary.
Yay.
So every time they talk about the, oh, you know, oh, if you're black, you know, you're definitely at the lower end of the
Thank
earning
you. Thing. It's just not true.
It's not true.
It's just not true. And it just shocks me that even to this day, people will still assume.
And our own people say it as well. So not only does the dialogue of other people need to change, of other cultures, our own dialogue about how we speak about ourselves,
yes,
our potential,
must
our earnings.
Change. Yes.
And it's got, and I listen, everybody's different. So I feel my way is, you said at the beginning of the interview, is about being positive. I just think when you bring light, even over the darkest subjects, the hardest subjects, it just gets people to relax a bit
there
more.
There you go.
And step forward and then educate and learn and change.
Oh, I love that. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
This is amazing.
That's what I think.
Yeah, I love it. And so you say it's already done. It's already been published.
Yeah, I'm getting it published. What's happened is we did the launch. Now I want to basically get more investment so I can do some more findings. And then I want to, it's already going into agencies already.
Fantastic.
But I want to keep it growing. That's what I want
to
do.
Yes, exactly.
I want to do another round of research. That's
good.
What I want to do to build upon what I've done already.
What you've done.
Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Oh my gosh, already my mind's ticking. Who do I know?
Yeah.
Wow, that is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, we've got to get to the Jabber Talk 40 questions.
Okay.
Because this is Jabber Talk. So for those of you who are listening in for the very first time, we have the Jabber Talk 40 questions, which means we have 40 questions that Lydia has not seen. She does not know. She did not even know we had these questions until she arrived. I keep it that way on purpose so that people don't start freaking out. Mm-hmm. And so Lydia just has to pick a number between 1 to 40, and whatever number she picks, they are the questions I will ask her. So, pick a number, please.
Well, 7.
Number 7.
Yes.
Okay. What is a significant song that has meaning for you? Now, this can be a song that you listen to over and over and over. It can be a one-off song that you only ever heard once, but a song that, you know, when you ever hear it, it has meaning for you.
Oh my gosh, there's so many. There's so many. I remember at home, we all, you know, of the many music songs that we used to listen to, it was Gladys Knight. So I'm really going back now, right? My mum used to play that. And oh gosh, which song was it now? Now you put me on the spot. Now you put me on the spot.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, but you know what? Because I can't remember the name, let me think of the other artist that I loved listening to as I grew up, Marvin Gaye.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh.
And so, but I won't say the title of the song, but it's just, but that song reminds me of my mum and dad because I used to see them dancing. And,
oh, okay. So
you know,
you're talking
love.
More of an era
yeah,
of songs.
Yeah, like of songs.
Gladys Knight,
yeah.
Marvin Gaye, all
yes.
of those kind of times.
That reminds me.
It just brings you back.
When I think of those songs, or when I think of that era, those era of time, it just makes me feel like Cotton Wool. Feel right, you know,
oh, yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes, totally. Totally.
Yeah. And I feel that actually, because music does actually have a connection, and all of those artists, they went through so much. Like Aretha Franklin,
exactly.
These people were trailblazers of their time.
Exactly.
So,
exactly.
So I think in a way they've left a good impression on me. Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah.
To prepare me for my future.
Yeah, no, I love that.
Yeah.
I had Andre De Shields on the show a few weeks ago,
okay.
And he's like a veteran Broadway actor, and he's here at the moment at the National. Oh, you know him. So he was here, and I asked him about what Because he has a magic. I don't know if you've seen him on stage. He has this magic. As soon as he's on the stage, the whole stage just opens up. Everyone acknowledges it. And he was saying, he's going, oh, because when I step on the stage, I don't step alone. He goes, I first of all take the spirits of my parents. And I say, right, mother, father, I'm going out on the stage now. Come with me. And then I take their parents. And then I take all my ancestors from the years. And so when I enter the stage, it's not just me.
You're not on your own.
And I was like, oh my God, I had goose pimples. Yes. I was like, oh, that explained everything. So I kept saying to him, what is your magic though? What is the magic element? It's beyond your craft. It's beyond your skill. What is it? And so it just explained it all. It's like,
that's powerful.
Because it's not just me.
It's true. Because that reminds me of what, I mean, I don't know if he, I'm sure, well, Maya Angelou always used to say that.
Right.
She always used to say, when you walk onto the stage, you remember you're not on your own.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, and I believe that too.
Yeah.
If you have faith, you believe that, you know, whatever you believe in is with you.
Yes.
And if your parents or someone has passed over, that love is always with you.
Exactly.
You know?
And I want us as a community to get there. I want Lydia, for you to know every time you go on your stage, because you go on big stages.
Yeah.
I want you to know that there are those of us who believe in you.
Yeah, thank you.
Who love you, who support you, who are proud of you.
Thank you.
Who know that you are not just representing yourself, but you're representing us. And as a black woman, I don't think we hear that enough.
Yes, completely.
Somehow people overlook us. You know, we're just like, oh, they can get on with it. Constantly, we're left at the bottom of the rung. That's how it feels sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, when you look at our lives, though, we're always on the bigger platforms.
We are always.
But we're doing it alone. But you're not alone, Lydia.
No,
you're not alone.
You.
There are those of us who totally are proud of you.
Thank you very much.
Happy for you.
Thank you very much.
Oh, anyway, we've got time. We've got time for another question.
Okay.
So
okay.
Another number, please.
Whoa. 25.
Number 25. Okay. Okay. Who in history or in present would you most like to go skydiving with? Because have you ever been skydiving?
Never been skydiving.
Right. Most people don't because it's scary.
Yeah.
So who in history or in present would you want to, you know, do the most scariest thing with?
Oh my gosh, Martin Luther King.
Really?
Yeah, he just came to my head. Apart from my husband. But because, I mean, can you imagine just being in such a really scary situation?
Yes.
And feeling safe at the end and having Martin Luther King at the end.
Yeah, there you go.
We made it.
We did this.
We did. Yeah.
I
imagine.
Love it.
That'd be me for life. And
that
I think that
right.
Any situation I go through, I'll just have his words in my head, ringing in my head. So I think, you know, I'll be
he'd
all right.
Be a good person It'd to go good. Through it with.
Yeah.
Just get him to talk to you all the way down.
All the way down.
Tell me about your dream.
I'll be
just talk to me.
You have to wake me up when I get to the bottom.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay, we've got time for one more.
One more. Yeah. Number three. Yeah.
Okay. Who, this could be, you may have answered it, but let's see. Who has been the most influential or the most significant person in your life?
Oh my gosh. There's two people.
Say.
Number one, my mum. She's passed, bless her.
Oh, bless her.
Most significant woman in my life.
Oh.
Yeah. You know, she did things for me, for our family. So there's her, and obviously, and secondly, my husband.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah. What was it about your husband? What was it about him that... What? You knew he was the one.
I love his heart and his wisdom and his frankness.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah.
The person who can actually tell you how it is and you
completely.
Can actually really hear
And he's
it.
Always on your side. You know, he's number one on my side.
That's
he doesn't
beautiful.
Just agree with me for the sake of agreeing with me, but he's always my supporter. And I think that's really important.
So important.
Have. Yeah.
So important because, I mean, you go through relationships and you realise how many... Especially when you're a successful woman, how many men can't actually handle that? They say that's what they want, but then when they get it, that's not what they want at all because they don't realize what a successful woman is.
He's secure in himself, and I think that's really important.
So important.
And he's secure in himself, and he's very foresight. He has great foresight. Does that make sense?
Yes.
If there's something I cannot see,
he's got a good way of seeing it.
Yeah, I think that's
that
really
is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
That is just brilliant. And of course, your mother, because then she, from a young age, she became both your mother and father.
She did.
Right.
She did. And I could ask again, I could ask her so many questions. And not only that, we did have such a laugh together. She had the greatest sense of humour. And I think my humour, we would laugh so much. Right. And so we'd go through everything together, through, have serious conversations. Yeah. Times you don't get on well with your, you know, your mother. Yeah. It's not always like perfect. Yeah. But she, when I, especially when they're gone, you know, when they're gone and you hear all that, you hear their messages coming through and you're thinking, oh my gosh, how right were you?
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes, exactly.
And that's the type of love, if, especially if you've had a very good relationship with your parent, is that nothing can ever replace that, but it will never leave you.
Exactly.
Does that make sense?
Yes. No, that's what it was like when our dad died. Yeah. It was like in 2009, very suddenly.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, yeah, you just, his story continues living in you, doesn't
it?
But it's so weird because we're born knowing we're going to die.
Yeah, I know.
None of us get out of it alive.
Yes.
And yet nothing can prepare you.
No, nothing can prepare
when
you.
When someone goes, nothing prepares you.
Nothing can compare, nothing compares to that type of transcendence. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And it takes your... Everybody's an individual. It takes time for you to come to reach your own answers to how you deal with your grief.
Exactly.
And then turn...
There are no rules.
There are no rules. How long, the length of time it needs to take and, you know, whatever. But one thing I know is that I remember I said to my mum, look, what do I do one day whenever whatever happens? And she just said, hey, don't you ever waste your life. You've got to be happy. Aww. And your memories of me, never, ever sad. Always good.
There you go.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
And that's easier said than done. But ultimately... If you think about it, we never know how long we've got. So why waste the time that we've got here? So that provides me with a force, actually. You know
yes,
what?
It does.
I'm going to go for this.
Exactly.
I get the bad days, but I pick myself up.
And quickly.
Just keep, you have to.
You do.
Because, you know.
Because one thing I've learned in life is that money, of all things, money is the most fleeting thing. Fleeting.
Yes.
It comes and it goes. It comes in waves and it goes in waves.
Completely.
And so you can't live your life based on that and make your decisions based on that, right?
No. I have done so before in the past.
Yes, exactly. Which is why I've learned not to. Because it went again.
Yeah.
You ratchet money. Right?
It's true. That money is a topic, a whole nother topic.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, Lizzie, we've got to have you back on the show because we've run out of time.
Okay.
But thank you for so much insight and so much beauty and so much positivity that you shared with us today. Thank you. Really, really appreciate you being here.
Great time with Jacqueline. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Okay, so we are going to definitely hear more from Lydia.
Amois. Yes.
We're going to be hearing so much more from Lydia Amois and especially the Black Pound report that she's been doing.
Yeah.
Please do keep us in the loop with that. Let us know every step of the way. We'll get you back on the show.
Thank you.
We can talk about, follow that story with
you.
But yes, please do go onto her site. So that's LYDIAAMOAH.com and just look at her life, see how you can get onto some of her coaching classes and workshops because it'd be so, so worth it. Okay, so this is the end of today's show. This has been Colourful Radio. Of course, this is Jabba Talk, and I am Jacqueline Malcolm, your host.